Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
I'm Candace Lim, and you're listening to ICYMI. In case you missed it, Slate's podcast about internet culture. And joining me on today's episode is a senior writer for Dazed. It's Laura Pitcher. Hello, Laura.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Laura, we're so excited to have you because guess what? This is your first time on the show. So first off, welcome, welcome. I did want to ask you the question we ask all first-time guests. What's your first internet memory?
The first thing that comes to mind are those games that you play on like the big household computers in like the office, the shared one. I think my first memory would be one of the games Feeding Frenzy and sneaking out of bed at night and playing that game. Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Oh, I love that. There is something there too about the fact that like I think all of us have an internet memory, but all of us also have a digital memory. And that definitely falls into the like a digital memory of the physical encapsulation of the glowing screen, which I absolutely have too. I love that.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it didn't even need the internet, but maybe that was what was best.
Exactly. Well, Laura, you are on the show today because you wrote a great piece for Dazed. It's called Meet the People Using ChatGPT as Their Therapist. And on today's episode, we're diving into the growing reliance of ChatGPT in people's everyday lives and the way it has become their therapist, their best friend, their life organizer, and more. I'll be back with Laura right after the break. This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. Whether you're listening to ICYMI at double speed or regular speed, you'd probably love to know how you can get more cash back on your credit card. Either way, we'll slow things down a bit so you don't miss anything. Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. It pays to discover. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Hi, listeners. Hope you're enjoying today's show. If this is your first time listening, then welcome. We are thrilled to have you here. In case you missed it, our show comes out twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So make sure you never miss an episode like this past Wednesdays when Slate culture writer Nadira Goff and I played a wild game of high-speed downloads where we talked about Brian Jordan Alvarez, Mudang Backlash, and more. And we're back. So Laura, you wrote this piece for Dazed back in September where you spoke to a few people who used ChatGPT often, if not heavily, in their lives. Just for anyone who has the luxury of not knowing what this is, ChatGPT is an artificial intelligence chatbot that works with a user asking it something, also known as a prompt. It's free to use. It kind of looks like being in a customer service chat with Amazon. And you can ask it anything, kind of like Google. But since its public release in 2022, people have been using it in some very interesting ways, from asking it to organize their day by the hour to literally uploading screenshots of their text messages and asking it to analyze how they should respond. So, Laura, I want to start off by asking, When did you realize that people were using ChatGPT in this way and that it was becoming this like bigger and bigger trend and story?
Yeah, so I'm not a ChatGPT user myself. So I actually came across this on TikTok. I saw a video about someone who said they use ChatGPT as their therapist and they train it to like reply in Dolly Parton's voice. And I thought that was really funny. And then I saw someone else say that they use ChatGPT as a therapist and they train it to give a mix of advice from inspirational speakers. So after about the third or fourth video, I was like, okay, this seems like a thing. And I started reaching out to people and just talking to them about how they use it as a therapist, because I was really curious what advice they were getting.
That is a huge critical part of ChatGPT as well, which is that you can kind of train it like a Tamagotchi in a way to kind of become the interface you want it to be. And that has bigger implications. But I did want to ask, because you just said that you did not use ChatGPT. What are your feelings on it? Like, did writing the piece make you want to try it out? Where do you kind of land right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think just as a writer, there's always this rhetoric around AI is going to take our jobs. And I know people who use it to write emails. So I think maybe I wasn't the biggest fan. I did find it a bit more heartwarming when I was speaking to people than I initially thought, because I could really tell that, like, at a certain point, this, you know, makeshift therapist, AI therapist is meaning a lot to them. And who am I to tell them that, like, they shouldn't be doing that or that that's not valuable?
And let's talk about the people you spoke to, because in your piece, you talked to one person, for example, who told you about how they used ChatGPT in college to like discuss friendship issues. They kind of brain dumped on them. It's kind of like a diary. What surprised you most about the ways people were using it in their conversations with you?
Yeah, I think the thing that surprised me most was when one of the people I interviewed, Taylor Mazza, said that she doesn't like to bring her problems to her friends anymore. She wants to keep her friendships very lighthearted and surface level. So I think I found that the most interesting thing for me was how people were using this in a way that kind of imitates what I consider friendship rather than therapy. So maybe you're having a tough time with your partner and you're messaging with ChatGPT because you don't want to bother your friend with relationship issues. But I think in the past, maybe we would just chat with our friends, get a drink, and that wouldn't necessarily be seen as like emotional labor as it is today.
Yeah, I like that you're bringing in that word, because I've kind of also been hearing this rhetoric of people being like, you have certain friends for the capital T trauma, you have some friends just for the chit chat, surface level gossip stuff. And it's almost kind of like ChatGPT has become a new layer of friend, a new tier, which is interesting. In talking to Taylor, she told you, quote, "When I talk to ChatGPT, it's the first time I've been able to be fully honest with myself, which has helped me the most." That's a hard quote. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that was actually something else I found interesting. Almost everyone I spoke to would say that the fact that ChatGPT is on a screen and it's like quote unquote impartial, because we know it pulls from Reddit and all sorts of places, was actually a huge draw for them. Because for some people, going into a therapy session and seeing your therapist's reaction, they have a lot of fear around like being judged by their therapist. So something that I thought would be like the maybe a downside of ChatGPT therapy was actually a pro for a lot of these people, because they don't want to talk to someone in person. They actually don't want to speak to a person about some of these things.
Yeah. And I think that's one layer of it. This idea that, you know, there are so many AI tools that are available to the public. Some of them do involve like avatar. Some of them have a visual component. ChatGPT is very text-based. And so on top of people being like, I kind of want this to be a camera off experience, the other layer is like, when you talk to a real licensed therapist, I wonder if there's a fear of kind of the like, they're going to check me or they're going to be honest with me in a way that ChatGPT is maybe me being honest with myself.
Yeah, especially because you are training it to give it you the responses that you want it to give you. There is kind of an element of how far can you really push yourself when it comes to personal development, when it's just you kind of in a room with like you and like all these different types of advice from across the internet. And that's another thing too, is you don't exactly know where the piece of advice is coming from. Like, it could be from Reddit, it could be from a place that you wouldn't necessarily usually 100% trust, but now it's being fed to you by the ChatGPT and you're like, oh, my therapist says I can do this.
Yeah. And so let's talk about the therapy of it, because, you know, we hear a lot about how hard it can be to access therapy, whether it's about cost or finding someone whose schedule lines up with yours. But one thing that really surprised me about your piece was that some of the people you talk to have a therapist and they were using ChatGPT in addition to a regular therapist. Talk to me about why they're doing that and like what you learned from that.
Yeah, here's where it kind of felt like, again, that maybe ChatGPT wasn't their therapist. Maybe it was becoming their friend at this point, because I think for some of them, they'd mention like getting up at 5 a.m. and feeling anxious. And obviously you probably shouldn't text your actual therapist at that hour. So I think there's a draw in being able to have 24-hour access to someone at all times. Maybe you have therapy once a week, but then you use ChatGPT, you know, every day. But as I was writing this, I was also thinking about the fact that maybe there's sometimes that we can't message anyone. It is 3 a.m. and we can't message anyone. And we do kind of have to self-soothe. And I wonder if you become reliant on ChatGPT, do you kind of lose those skills of like self-soothing and like, I don't know, making a cup of tea and doing the things that you like?
Yeah, this idea of self-soothing and coping as an adult is... it's so funny because it sounds kind of dumb. Like, self-soothing is a word that you use for babies when they cry. But I do think, especially in this like economy, in this political environment, those words are now hitting the forefront of like, here's how I decompress after my 9-to-5. Another thing that you're kind of making me think about is maybe people like using ChatGPT because it doesn't have boundaries. It doesn't set boundaries with them.
Yeah, for sure. Because your friend also probably isn't going to reply till 8 or 9 a.m. when they wake up. But ChatGPT is there all the time, 24/7. And I think that's a huge draw for people.
Yeah. And I actually wanted to bring in this article that Emma Pernay wrote for Vice. She spoke to this EMT named Dan. He's a 37-year-old EMT. And ChatGPT for him, it's, quote, a band-aid and not a complete substitute for genuine therapy and mental health. As a supplement or in an emergency, however, it may be exactly the right tool to get a person through a bad spell, end quote. And once again, this is someone in the medical profession. He's an EMT. What do you think about that? This idea that, like, even knowing that ChatGPT is a band-aid, can you still be, like, reliant on it?
Yeah, I think there was someone in my article that had a similar sentiment. Aaron, who was a life coach, really thought that it's good for like a non-judgmental element. And also, I think because of the accessibility of ChatGPT, it can be great in terms of therapy. But that emotional connection is just obviously never going to be there. You're not going to get the same experience as a human therapist. So I would say that rings true for the people I spoke to as well.
Yeah. And so, Laura, you spoke to someone named Therapy Jeff. I'd love to know who they are and like what did they think about this whole phenomenon?
Yeah, so Jeff is a therapist and he also provides advice on TikTok. And so I spoke with him about ChatGPT and therapy. And one of the concerns that he actually brought up was about giving ChatGPT your like sensitive medical and mental health information, because we're really not sure at this stage what they're going to do with it. And then I found out that there have been reports of surveillance companies using ChatGPT to conduct different analysis and analyzing data. So that was something that was a little concerning as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been speaking about other people who use ChatGPT as a therapist. Laura, after writing this piece and talking to so many people who like it, would you ever use ChatGPT as your therapist? Have you thought about it?
I think while I was doing the interviews and speaking to people who were really excited about it, I was kind of like, oh, like maybe I should also try this. Maybe this is something that's interesting. I was definitely intrigued. But as with everything kind of AI for me, I didn't end up actually putting that into practice. And I kind of don't use ChatGPT on a daily basis. And don't really have any plans to. So no, it doesn't have a place as a therapist in my life, I don't think. But what about you? Would you?
No. I think what's really interesting about your article is people clicked on it probably because you were hitting on two stigmas intersecting, which is ChatGPT and therapy. These are two fields that definitely have strong opinions from people with a lot of opinions. And for me, as someone who was already so anti-ChatGPT and AI, it was just kind of hard for me to like see myself using a tool I don't like for something I do support, which is therapy. Mm-hmm. But I will say that like after reading your piece and like trying to dig a little deeper into why someone would reach for ChatGPT as a therapist, I do get it and I do understand. And I think that is a pretty human element to be curious. And the question is there a technology that fills that curiosity? And for some people who want both to fill curiosity and reach a level of self-awareness, ChatGPT is that missing block, you know?
Yeah, I think I more walked away from the article feeling like we really need to invest in our friendships and text our friends when something's going wrong, rather than feeling like I need to like get on ChatGPT and start doing this.
Yeah. And I want to keep talking about that. We've kind of been speaking within the bounds of ChatGPT as a therapist. I've been seeing lots of TikToks and tweets of the way people use it in like creative but possibly alarming ways. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the unexpected ways people have been using ChatGPT and whether we can predict its role in the near future. I'll be back with Laura after the break. Listening on Audible helps your imagination soar. No matter the genre you love, you can be inspired to imagine new worlds, new possibilities, and new ways of thinking. I've recently fallen in love with the Rivals series by Jilly Cooper. The audiobook is fantastic, and it really takes you back to that like 1980s Cotswolds vibe. Find the genres you love or discover new ones with the best selection of audiobooks, podcasts, and Audible originals all in one app. Audible makes it easy to be inspired and entertained as part of your daily routine without needing to set aside extra time. I love listening to audiobooks while driving because it feels like you're hanging out with an audio companion. There's more to imagine when you listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days with your first audiobook included. Visit audible.com/ICYMI or text ICYMI to 500-500. That's audible.com/ICYMI or text ICYMI to 500-500. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. There's joy in finding the perfect gift for the ones you love, but it can be a challenge. Saks.com's holiday gift guide makes it easy. Whether you're surprising your heart to shop for sister with a Chloe bracelet bag or gifting your partner a memorable scent from Gucci, at Saks.com, there's holiday inspiration for every personality on your list. I love using Saks.com because it is clean, easy to use, and so fun to scroll around for inspiration. I'm currently on the hunt for a really nice winter coat, and I'm also looking to put together some fun holiday looks, especially with all these Christmas parties coming around the corner. Now, thankfully, Saks has me covered because they have everything my friends have been begging me for, from Le Labo candles to Jo Malone London perfumes. And while I'm there, I might as well throw in these really cute Michael Kors boots I've been dying to gift myself. Saks.com's hand-picked guide can help take the stress out of the holidays. Add instant cheer to your home with some bright decor. Find gifts guaranteed to bring joy to everyone this holiday season at Saks.com. That's Saks.com for the ultimate holiday gift guide and all the shopping inspiration you need. Whether you're listening to ICYMI at double speed or regular speed, you'd probably love to know how you can get more cash back on your credit card. Either way, we'll slow things down a bit so you don't miss anything. Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. It pays to discover. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. And we're back. I am here with Laura Pitcher from Dazed, and I now want to talk about the ways that people are using ChatGPT, because some of them are kind of unexpected. And I can't decide how I feel about some of them. And I'll start off by saying this. You know, the ICY and my team, we had a conversation about whether we should experiment with ChatGPT for the purposes of this episode. I thought about it. I ultimately decided I couldn't do it because it felt like kind of personally icky to me. And yet, I see so many TikToks of people using it in libraries at school, and I notice they ask questions that I've definitely like asked Reddit before. And so, I kind of wanted to go through a few ways I've seen people using ChatGPT online. Can I throw a few your way, Laura, and we can just like talk them out?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. First, this episode really kicked up a notch for our team when we saw this unfortunately now deleted tweet by someone named Chris Osborne, who wrote, quote, "One time I was feeling upset about my divorce and texted a friend for support. They sent a reply that was so weird and canned out of character. Told another friend about it, and she said you can tell if an iMessage is ChatGPT if the apostrophes are straight, not curved." And then they posted a screenshot of said text, and it's kind of like one of those traditional long supportive text, but indeed the apostrophes were straight, not curved. And people were quote tweeting this like crazy. They were bringing up their own friends doing this to them. And it really shocked me because I would be so hurt if someone did this to me, because I would just be like, excuse me, do you actually support me, or did you literally outsource your emotional labor to a machine? But Laura, what are your thoughts on this? People using ChatGPT to write like condolence text messages.
No, just leave me on read. Like, just leave me on read. I would rather you not even reply. If you reply a week later, even 2 weeks later when you can, but sending me something from ChatGPT, especially when it's something personal, and honestly, anytime. I know some people use it for their emails as well, but I'm like, I also don't want you to email me using ChatGPT. I want to see the way you use exclamation marks. Maybe you put an emoji in there. Maybe you wish me well and you ask me about my week. Like, I don't want this to be coming from ChatGPT personally. And I would feel kind of offended too. I don't know if I'd come to them for advice again.
What if the response that ChatGPT gives you is like actually really good, and then this friend keeps relying on you for like more and more good advice, and you're like, Jesus Christ, I literally just need to send them the link and I need to fess up because I cannot be there for them, which is a hard conversation to have. It is. I understand.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of people using it in their texts. And honestly, it's like, we need to draw the line somewhere. I'm going to start voice noting people just so I can tell that it's them responding.
Oh, that's actually really funny. If you like got a text from someone and you were like, so I think this is ChatGPT, can you voice memo it? And then you just hear them absolutely bungle it, and you're like, I knew it. Now I want to ask, because I've seen a few TikToks about people who will ask ChatGPT to basically organize their life. So they'll be like, can you make me a schedule that includes homework, healthy meal plans, workouts that will fit my goals? And it will populate these like very precise hour by hour detailed schedules and agendas. And at first I was kind of amazed because it kind of looks pretty. It looks like Notion, but I'm trying to figure out why people would turn to ChatGPT for something that I actually have fun doing on my own by hand. Like, I love making a calendar. I love a little schedule. What do you think about people using ChatGPT specifically as like a scheduling, meal plan, workout plan device?
I think it probably just comes down to time and accessibility. I think if you don't have a lot of time, you might just want ChatGPT to come up with. I've seen exercise plans as well, meal plans, exercise plans, especially if you can't afford going to a nutritionist or maybe going to a personal trainer. Maybe this seems like the next best option to kind of feel like you have that expert advice in your life. So this to me actually feels kind of low stakes. I don't know how like the gym bros feel about it, but to me, like, if ChatGPT is just saying, hey, go for a run, and then tomorrow you're going to lift some weights, I'm like, that probably is a little bit less scary than it giving us like very emotional advice and like mental health advice.
I can think of two cons to this. The first one being, do you ever like go online and see like a workout plan or like a Pilates thing, and then the first thing they put up is like, please don't attempt any of these without consulting a doctor first. Let's be real, no one's consulting the doctors. But a part of me is like, if you can skip and bypass the warning sign and kind of get ChatGPT to filter the info to you, What if it causes you to be injured? What if it doesn't take into account your health history? Things like that. And then I'm just thinking about all of the Bachelor contestants turned personal trainers who will not be able to land clients if ChatGPT can do their job. I feel for them.
Yeah, you could definitely get injured. And I think as with everything online, it's like best to take everything with a grain of salt. I wouldn't say just because ChatGPT says that you like need to be doing 2-hour workouts every day that you actually need to do it. Like you can just see what feels good. But I think that's the part that gets missed.
Yeah. I now want to talk about wedding vows, because Samantha Murphy Kelly wrote a piece for CNN about someone who used ChatGPT to write their wedding vows. They said that it, quote, helped alleviate some stress because I had no prior experience with wedding vows. Pause. If you've never been married, that makes sense. Continuing. Nor did I know what should be included. They kept saying, ChatGPT is a genius with alliteration, analogies, and metaphors. Having something like, I promise to be your partner in life with the enthusiasm of a golfer's first hole in one in my back pocket was comical. First off, that's a horrible line.
Not good.
But what are your thoughts on people using ChatGPT not only in their wedding vows? Because I'm seeing people be like, my entire wedding website and registry was used with AI.
Interesting. I think anything romantic like vows, it's going to be the same as the text for me, where it's just like, don't do it. I'd rather you say a sentence, or actually, I'd rather you not even marry me. Don't show up for the wedding. If you can't come up with a couple of sentences about why you love me and what our relationship means to you, and you have to turn to ChatGPT, I don't even mind if it's not so good. I just want it to be from you and from the heart. So I think that we don't need ChatGPT to like help us in our romantic endeavors. And it's probably the same for people who use it with dating apps. But I know that there are some people who use ChatGPT. Some of my friends do this to actually analyze the texts of someone they're either in a relationship with or that they're talking to, and then tell them, oh, are they interested in me? Or am I in the wrong here? Like, should I apologize? Which I find super interesting as well.
Yeah. Can I ask about this? What was your reaction when you found out your friends were doing this? And like, do they seem happier, or does it seem like it lifts like something off their shoulders?
I must say, it doesn't seem like the advice, again, it's not terrible, but I think maybe for me, it did kind of indicate that like, wow, okay, they're in a place where they are really analyzing every, you know, every sentence, every element of their relationship. I think even the fact that they were sending those texts in was a sign for me as a friend to be like, maybe I need to step up as a friend and help them out here, because they seem a little like anxious, and maybe ChatGPT was alleviating that for them.
Yeah. I think what's funny is that like a phrase that I've personally adopted in the past year and a half is sometimes it's just not that deep. And I think what I'm kind of wondering is if ChatGPT is on the other side of that spectrum, where on one side you have it's not that deep, the other side being, oh, let's not only self-analyze, let's hyper-analyze, let's really get to the root of what this means. And that seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. And I understand if you're in a relationship with this person, maybe it's long term, you're having a hard time. But if you are doing this with someone that you've just started talking to, I would say maybe that's not your person. Like, it's okay. Yeah. Like the beginning should really be fun and enjoyable, not like hours of screenshotting and sending things to ChatGPT to see if they even like you. If you have to send it in, I would say probably the answer is no.
Yeah. And let's keep on this trail of romance, because I now want to talk about Lily Allen, the singer. So Lily Allen said on a podcast, red flag already, that she uses ChatGPT to formulate text to her husband, David Harbour, aka Jim Hopper from Stranger Things, when they are fighting. And the example she gave is that she would prompt ChatGPT by writing, "That's great, but can you add in a bit about how I think this is all actually to do with his mom?" Now, I think there are layers here. First, because Lily Allen has written great songs. And I'm like, okay, was nominated for a Grammy, but can't write a text. Interesting. But I do think Lily brings up this possible sentiment that more and more people are fine with using ChatGPT because they describe it as personal use. They say it's not like I'm using it to create malicious content or horrible images of someone else. I'm not even making money off of it. I'm just using it for myself and it's not leaving my bubble of use. So what do you think about what she said? But also, what are your thoughts when people say they aren't causing harm when they use AI because it's for personal use?
So many thoughts on Lily Allen. Wasn't she also the one that was pretending to be working class throughout her whole career? So I'm like, maybe not the best advice giver, but I'm super curious about how she uses it. Cause you said that she said, oh, make it more about his mom. Is she putting what she would usually respond into ChatGPT and then getting it to help her? Or is it building it like from scratch?
So she said that she uses ChatGPT more for personal stuff. Quote, if me and David have had an argument and I need to articulate it, I'll be like, write me a long text message about an argument that started with the dishwasher and ended in an argument about our finances. And then it'll pop out something and then she'll literally tell it to like edit itself. She'll be like, can you add a little bit more about this? Yeah.
Well, I just think it's one of those things where not that fights are enjoyable, but why are we trying to like fast track and optimize every element of the human condition? Like if you're going to fight with someone, fight with them yourself. Don't use AI to do it for you. And maybe if you don't have the energy to fight with that person, maybe you could also not fight with them. Like I wonder if she's ever considered not even sending the long text about dishes and his mom. But I think this idea that it's not harmful because it's personal is interesting, because I think what we deem as harmful is like to our work or to how productive we are, but there's a plenty of things that can also be harmful to our friendships and our relationships, and those are really important too. So I would say that if you are using ChatGPT to text a friend, if you're not fully present in your relationship enough to fight in your relationship, to me that seems like it has the potential to be harmful for your relationship.
Yeah, and I think something that also kind of bothers me about her saying that it's fine because it's personal use is the energy of it all. You know, it's important to acknowledge that AI does not exist in a vacuum. It takes up so much energy that, according to the MIT Technology Review, they're saying that AI uses as much electricity as small countries and that it'll usher in a fossil fuel resurgence and that it's already challenging the grid. And to compare this, the IEA, International Energy Agency, they said that a single Google search takes 0.3 watt hours of electricity, while a ChatGPT request takes 2.9 watt hours. And I feel like even though it may seem so innocent to be like, I just asked ChatGPT to write me a text, how can I be causing climate change? It's like, well, we're not going to have the private jet discussion again. Like, I think we know. Yeah. We know how this goes.
Yeah, and I think maybe a lot of people don't even know about the environmental impact of ChatGPT. Because it does seem like something that, oh, you're just on a website. How could that possibly be doing all this harm?
Yeah, and that goes into like servers and like how they're real hardware in the grounds and we're using all this land and stuff like that. But I do want to pick up on something you just mentioned, which is the way that AI influences or harms our friendships. And there's the idea of companionship. So I would say this is probably the most popular way I've seen people use ChatGPT online. You spoke to someone who said that they use ChatGPT as a personalized diary. Others have turned to it whenever something happens to them and they're maybe looking for like solidarity or advice. I think there's even been commentary about this back in 2013 with the film Her by Spike Jonze, where Joaquin Phoenix grows this like romantic attachment to artificial intelligence. And with that, I did want to bring up a story that shows the potential dark side of what this type of dependence and relationship can turn into.
A mother from Florida filed a lawsuit against the artificial intelligence company Character AI and Google. In February, Megan Garcia's 14-year-old son, that Sewell Setzer III on your screen, died by suicide. She says that Sewell was in a months-long virtual emotional and sexual relationship with a chatbot known as Danny. Garcia claims the character AI chatbot encouraged Sewell to take his own life.
So we are talking about a different platform here. Character AI is a chatbot that provides a visual component. So you can like make an avatar or a person that looks like a celebrity. You can customize it to your liking and they will respond to your prompts with text and or voices. And Megan Garcia, the mother of Sewell Setzer III, said that her son was messaging with a bot that he had a strong daily relationship with and that the platform did not adequately respond when her son began expressing thoughts of self-harm, which according to Garcia ultimately led to her son taking his own life in February. And a sentiment that I've read across multiple articles is that one reason why people keep using ChatGPT is because it rarely breaks character and it always texts back. And I wonder if that desire for a response has something to do with us being in an era of ghosting and cutting off your friends and not owing people a response when they wrong you. And so I don't know. Do we think there's a correlation there? Like, is the reliance on ChatGPT maybe just as simple as I want a friend who responds to me at all times, no matter what?
Yeah. And I think we can't even blame young people from turning to AI, especially when it comes to like friendship element and conversations, because we know that 73% of Gen Z report feeling loneliness sometimes or always. So people are feeling really isolated and lonely. And I think that sometimes technology can feel like a quick fix.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, perhaps these are the exact platforms that are contributing to the loneliness epidemic. So it kind of becomes this cycle where the more reliant you become on ChatGPT and on technology in general and not turning to people in real life, then the more lonely you feel.
I wonder if this is me just being like too big picture, but I think it's kind of ironic that the devices that were created to bridge communication, computer, internet, phone, have now become the same devices that cause us loneliness, because instead of quote coping or self-soothing or like very generally sitting with our thoughts, we've now depended on technology that was communication devices and now they're almost anti-communication devices. I don't know, is that too big brain of me? Am I bringing up too much?
No, I think you're onto something there, and especially because I feel like it's every day I'm seeing people post on TikTok that they've cut off all their friends, they're focusing on themselves. Yeah. There is this element of like self-optimization that I just feel like sometimes you do just need to catch up with your friends. You do just need to turn to the people around you. And as much as these platforms can help us optimize, I don't think everything needs to be optimized. And I don't know if human relationships can be optimized by technology. Aside from, I would say, you know, I'm from New Zealand, so I call my mom and I FaceTime my family. I think that's something that's really connected us. But then there's these other elements like AI that probably do the opposite.
Yeah. And this is not helpful, but I really do feel like probably what started this like cut off your friends era was that 2019 meme that was like someone responding to their friend's really long text message and they said, I ain't reading all that. I'm happy for you though. Or sorry that happened. And then it was funny. And then it became something else. And I was like, I unfortunately think people have used that sentiment as like a genuine excuse for basically either using ChatGPT or like not responding to their friends, period.
That was when the I'm at capacity tweet was as well. So yeah. I'm like, that was a big year for isolating ourselves.
Yeah. So I kind of want to end on this note, which is I wonder if you have any predictions or maybe thoughts on how we can or should deal with ChatGPT's growing presence in our lives. Like, how would you react, for example, if you found out one of your friends was like super reliant on ChatGPT for everything? They were one of those people.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to know exactly when to step in, because if your friend says, oh, I use it to send my emails, you're not exactly gonna like host an intervention. Right. But I think if I noticed it to the point that it was interfering with the things they like to do, I wasn't seeing them very often, I would start to get concerned and maybe check in there. In terms of predictions, I think predictions are a little difficult because it is a space that's moving really quickly. I know even for me, I didn't know people were using it as a therapist until this year. And I don't know if that's something that's been going on before. But I think people will continue to find ways to use ChatGPT. And ultimately, I know a lot of people are calling for like regulation, which I'm not sure if we're going to get in this next administration. But I think it's just important to be careful and aware that like this data can be used and potentially will be used by these companies. And that element of privacy that you feel isn't exactly there. And we're not exactly sure how that looks in the future either.
Okay, that's the show. Many thanks to Laura Pitcher for coming on today's episode. You can find her work at dazedigital.com or on Twitter at Laura E. Pitcher. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so definitely subscribe. That way, you never miss an episode. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @icymi_pod, and you can always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com. ICYMI is produced by Sierra Spragley-Ricks and me, Candace Lim, with production assistance from Alexandra Boti and Kat Hong. Deezer Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's vice president of audio. See you online or at therapy.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.